Hi, I'm Greg Schaefer, and welcome to the Virtual CISO Moment. Darius Davis joins us today. He is a cybersecurity professional with over 15 years of experience. He serves locally here in the Middle Tennessee area on both the ISSA and ASACA boards, and he's originally from Alabama. I won't hold that against him, though. Darius, thank you so much for joining the podcast today.
Hey, Greg, I'm not going to hold that against you either. We did win last night, so that's why you see my shiny Crimson A here, Roll Tide.
I was going to say, go ahead, throw out a Roll Tide. I'm fine with
absolutely
that.
Roll Tide. Hey, you know what? You heard it here first. We're going to the Final Four. You heard it here first.
Excellent. Everybody change your brackets. Yep. Well, I guess you can't do that.
Might be too late. It's probably too late for that.
Yeah. Darius, would love to hear your story about why and how you got into technology and cybersecurity and you know, what led you to where you're at today. Particularly, I'm fascinated to hear about your service on both ASACA and ISSA.
Yeah. So thanks, Greg, for having me, first of all. You know, like you said, this has been a long time coming. We've been trying to get this going for, about half a year now. I can't believe that the InfoSec conference is about to come back around now. It's already April. Crazy.
I know. Yeah.
So, I've been in the industry, like you said, for 15 years. But, you know, my journey through IT and through computers and technology started as a very, very early kid. I don't know if you guys remember Radio Shack. I'm sure, Greg, you may have. I'm not going to say how old that makes you or anything, but there's a place called Radio Shack back in the day. I used to have a little kit that had like 101 different ham radios or FM transmitters and things
like that. I always wanted that, and I never got it.
I got one of those when I was a kid, probably like 7 or 8. I was like 7 or 8 when I got one of those, man. And that was just the coolest thing I thought ever. And that, I guess even earlier than that, my mom's a teacher. And back then, you know, when she worked in her school system, they were giving the teachers, you know, Apple Macintosh, little Macintosh computers, desktop computers. And so my mom would bring that home and she would let me play on it. I played Number Munchers and I would, do word processing documents and things. And I thought that was the coolest thing also. So those were kind of my earliest journeys into the technology field, moving along into, you know, getting into school, playing with computers and, you know, having typing class and things like that. I was always fascinated with it. Moving along into college, I'll be honest, when I went to college, I went to Alabama for the A-Day. They said, hey, there's a new degree out there, Information Technology Management Information Systems, 95% job placement, 98% job placement. Oh, that sounds great. Computers. And they said, oh, you don't have to take as much math as you do in computer science. I said, sign me up. that's where I, really got my intro and, you know, started the journey down into, you know, getting into the business as well as the IT systems of computers and things of that nature. Moving along to when I wanted to get my master's back in 2014, the grad counselor was saying, hey, it's this many people who are getting management information systems graduate degrees, and it's this many at the time information assurance degree candidates. And so the selectiveness and, you know, the exclusivity kind of intrigued me. I was intrigued also by, you know, I've grown up and seeing the movie Hackers and things like that. And, you know, so I kind of envisioned that information assurance somehow one way or another could get me down to that path. Shout out to UAH, by the way, University of Alabama in Huntsville. I know I keep on plugging Alabama on this podcast, but fast forward to where I am now, first job out of college was answering the phone calls. Hey, is your internet not working? No. Okay. Unplug it for 30 seconds and I'll be back and create a ticket for you. That was my first job out of college. No lie. And so, you know, I figured to myself, like, why did I go to college for this? But, hey, I always say you got to crawl before you walk. And so for the people out there that are, you know, listening, trying to transition, or, you know, early on in their career, don't feel, you know, guilty about, you know, not jumping out and, you know, first job being in cybersecurity. Like I said, my first job was in internet customer support, making $10 an hour. You know what I mean? So, you know, you got to crawl before you walk and you can get to the, you know, to the different places that you want to go. Started out, you know, mainly being a network engineer, working out and doing, network engineering for the restaurant Arsenal as a contractor. When I graduated with my master's, I wanted to move to Tennessee. I've always wanted to move to Nashville. It's kind of that, it had that big city feel, but it was close to home also. And I'm also a football fan. So, you know, I can always go to a Titans game. So that was really cool. You know, these are all, things you got to consider when, you know, going down the path of, you know, where do you want to work at? Healthcare is a big thing. I'm really happy about, you know, the industry that is here in Nashville. So that's really cool. So now I've been here in Nashville for about 7 years, doing cybersecurity for various companies and things. Currently now I'm a security architect for a healthcare company. Really enjoy my work. I think that I'm, helping and making a difference as far as, being able to provide a service. And, you know, whenever any of our facilities or anything is not in the news for a breach is a good day. So I think that is a great way of putting the work that I'm doing now as, you know, being meaningful work that I like to do. I'm also a budding entrepreneur as well. I've had a business, you know, when you, I went through a little spell of, you know, unemployment back in 2018. So I decided, hey, let's start a business. You know, like I can do it. There's people out here that need, some help. And so I started DMD Technologies, been in business now for since 2018. So about 6 years now. We do IT services, a lot of the last mile services for, big box chains, IT companies for, you know, Zaxby's or for, say, retail shops and things like that. So I've been doing it, like I said, for about 6 years to supplement some of my, full-time income. Really would love to, hopefully one day full-time do that. But, that comes, over time. I'm going to continue to do this. Hopefully, get some mentorship from my man, Greg, and see how I can myself.
Yeah, it is quite a leap going from the W-2 land to working for yourself. I've been doing it for some time now. I want to pull out two things that to reemphasize what you said in there. I think great advice for folks. The first one is you got to crawl before you walk. And I think everybody needs to understand that you can't just like get a jump start into cybersecurity. You have to understand what it is you're securing and why before you actually do it. So the what is the technical stuff. The why is the business process. So that's why I always tell people, it seems like that there's this resistance to the idea that the suggestion, well, start at the help desk. And, I don't want to start at the help desk. But that's one of the best places you can start because you can learn the business there. It's like if you're at the help desk like 6 months or a year or what have you, you soak in an awful lot of stuff. Yep. And then the second thing that you said about starting your business, I think that that's always a good idea to do, to have a side gig like that. Because it provides some additional income when you're unemployed, but B, there's also this, just the whole idea of the eggs in one basket and then actually having more than one basket, and then also potentially building to something like you're doing about potentially going like full time with it, because it's tough to just jump from the frying pan into the fire, so to speak, when working for yourself. So, but I know part of it has to deal with also networking, not the computer kind, but the people kind. And you do a lot of that, and you do a lot of service, and I appreciate that. Tell us just briefly what it is, the positions you hold with the Middle Tennessee ISACA and with ISSA, and what brought you to the point of service.
Yeah, so I've always been a part of organizations and things growing up. Going back to high school, I was on SGA class president 1 year. Shout out to me. Yes, I was. When I got into college, I was on the ISSA chapter for UH. We had a college chapter, which was, funded by, of course, the Huntsville chapter that was there locally. So I got exposed to it in college. When I got here to Nashville, I joined here on the ISSA chapter for Nashville, served there for a few years just in the chapter to see what's going on. And, in the past 2 years, I've been on the certification director, which basically is the person, whenever we have any of our chapter meetings, after the chapter meeting is over, if you were in attendance, you get a CPE credit that is that you can use for, any of your certifications, whether it be through ISACA or ISC Square, CompTIA, any of those other, certification bodies. You can use these CPEs to continue to have your certifications, up to date and use towards, your annual accrual of, CPEs. So I've been doing that for ISSA, and I'm also now the ISACA certification director. I've been in that capacity now for a year. Double duty for, you know, certification directors. And also, you know, one of the things that we want to do as far as certification director is we want to get people certified. So, you know, if you are not certified in things, you know, come out to an ISSA meeting or an ISACA meeting, talk to us about it. We do run different trainings during the year that are sponsored. I think we are trying to get sponsored this year by, you know, by a vendor to see if we can maybe give away some scholarships. But we do have boot camps that run through the year that, you know, maybe your employer can maybe fund, or, you know, if you have the money for it, they're pretty affordable if you're a member. So that's, you know, even more incentive to become a member. But, you know, like I said, in those capacities, I'm trying to get people certified. I'm also trying to get the word out into the community. About the different avenues of cybersecurity, because everybody thinks, you know, hackers when they see cybersecurity. But, you know, there's also GRC, you know, people, you know, auditors and, you know, risk compliance, you know, officers and things like that. So those are great entry points as well for people who are trying to break into cybersecurity, who are may not be as technical, but want to get into this field as well. So, you know, just trying to, you know, get the word out there and spread that, and, you know, just be a, you know, someone in the community that, you know, people can try to, you know, kind of go to and ask, you know, for guidance and, you know, advice in this field.
And that brings up, I'm going to point out two other excellent pieces of advice that you just gave for folks that are trying to get into or move up in the cybersecurity industry. The first thing is the importance of networking, without a doubt. You have to have a solid network, whether it be local with your chapters or virtual through LinkedIn or other communities out there. But you just establish that most of the jobs out there aren't gotten by a job board. I think like 80% is just word of mouth. So it's so important. And then the second thing, of course, is certifications. Now, certifications on their own really don't do much, but you have to have the experience behind it. So long as you can learn the stuff and be able to apply it and show that, you're going to definitely go far. So I appreciate what you do with all that. I didn't realize that you're responsible for the CPEs continuing to tick up whenever I go to one of these meetings. So thank you. But with your business, I know also that you are doing some work. You said some healthcare that you do, but you're also doing some work with small and mid-sized businesses. And I think that gives a rather unique perspective. What do you feel is one or a couple of the most significant threats to small and mid-sized businesses today? Cybersecurity threats, I should say.
Yeah. I think the main threat to small to medium sized business is still going to be the end users. Mm-hmm. We always talk about the end users as being a threat to, you know, expose the company to, you know, vulnerabilities and things like that. I think that's still going to be the main thing. There's not a lot of security awareness training that's happening at these small to medium sized businesses. They kind of, you know, someone comes in, sets up a firewall or throws on Windows Defender on the computers, you know, set it and forget it kind of deal, you know, until something happens. Then it's like, oh, why didn't we know? Or, you know, why were we, you know, paying attention to these different things? Or, you know, and I think that's the main issue. Security awareness training is, you know, not a big topic at these companies. I also think that they really don't know what they need. So if no one on staff is an actual security, professional, a lot of these companies don't know what they need. So they go out and, you know, maybe source things that are, you know, unnecessary and spend a lot of money that they may not have. Misconfiguration of things. They're not spending the funds in the right areas. So they need to call in people like Greg. They need to call in people like me who are able to, you know, set these things up and help them, guide them along their journey. So I think
I think we could probably like have like a whole like, you know, hour, 2 hours of dueling war stories here. But one that comes to my mind is this small business. They had a firewall set up. And of course, they were given the false sense of security, pun intended, that, you know, they have the firewall there. Everything's secure and all that. Well, this wasn't one of my clients. It was one of my colleagues, but they go in and they're doing as you start with small businesses, medium businesses, the first thing is to try to get an idea of the as-is, the environment. And looking at the firewall had a couple of rules in it, and then it had a default allow. And for those of you who are not IT firewall admins, let me explain why that's an issue. That makes the firewall useless. It's just basically, you know, you have a couple of like little allow statements up on top. That's great. You're supposed to have a default deny on the bottom to catch everything else. They had a default allow. So basically the firewall was doing nothing. So when confronted with that to their MSP, the MSP said, well, you never asked for a default deny. Now, to your point about how what they don't know, what they don't know, they need to rely upon their experts to be able to be looking out for them. Now, MSPs and also folks like me in the virtual CISO world, our feet are going to be held more to the fire with regards to giving advice and all that, because there are more instances where there's negligence going on that side. So we've got to be a little bit careful there. But you also touched on awareness. And I agree with you there, but how can we convince small and mid-sized businesses to focus more time on information security awareness? I mean, if you go to, I'm not going to necessarily plug any one product, but I will say that I've used Nobi for, it's probably been close to well over 10 years now. And we are a partner with them because it's just a great product. It's not that expensive. But from your perspective, how can you convince the business that, hey, this is a rather inexpensive way to address what you feel is one of the most significant threats?
Well, I mean, you know, nowadays everyone has, you know, a pocket vulnerable device. You know what I mean? Any day someone can send you a text message, an email to your phone, and you click a link and, you know, your whole phone is, you know, taken over. Your whole phone is, you know, compromised. So, I mean, people understand, you know, in the personal life, how this can affect them. If we somehow can start to commingle and collaborate and make them understand that their business life can also be affected in the same realm, in the same light as their personal life, I think that is a way that it kind of hits home a little bit more. Like you said, you know before there are other, you know, phishing simulation products out there that are, you know, able to, you know, run these tests within the business. I think all companies should at least once a quarter have some kind of phishing simulation ran. And like you said, it's very inexpensive to do. You know, if you know any businesses out there that are not doing that, I think you maybe should suggest it. You know, Greg can hook you up with a note before. But, you know, I think these are definitely things that need to be addressed in the workplace. These are not, these threats are not going away. And, you know, phishing, you know, user clicking links and things are one of the number one ways of hackers getting into systems. So I think that is the way that we need to address this.
So if we run a phishing simulation and somebody clicks on the link, what is the best way to address that? And what I'm getting at is that, do you ignore it as the business? Do you send them for extra training? Do you dock their bonus? I mean, what do you do?
Well, I mean, you know, if it was me and you docked my bonus, that'd be bad. I need some furniture moving, Greg. I'm just saying. No, you know, I don't think you docked the bonus, but, you know, just like in normal businesses, you know, when we ran phishing simulations, you know, the first time is kind of, you know, shame on you. Second time, you know, you got to, hey, you got to check this out. Did I get that right? I got to go look back at the George Bush clip and make sure I got that right.
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Yeah, there you go.
although I had to go to Scotty from Star Trek to remember that one, not George Bush. So
I had to listen to Jake for the people out there. I had to listen to J. Cole. J. Cole has a little skit where they have this on there. It's funny. You can check it out. I'd say that we, you know, the first time, you know, like I said, we definitely had to give them a, you know, a slap on the wrist. Second time, of course, do a little training. Nothing crazy because people are not, you know, prone to, you know, be watching videos for 15, 20 minutes. Something real quick, infographics, something, you know, to kind of to positive reinforce it. That's kind of crazy, though, because actually when I was in college, my I guess, master thesis was about the, you know, psychology of, you know, reinforcement of, you know, how, you know, Microsoft, you know, Windows, it slides out the notification whenever something comes up. And you can tell what different colors means and things. So the psychology of, you know, red means bad and blue is kind of soothing and it kind of sticks with you more. So, you know, just the psychology of looking at an infographic or, you know, doing some of the training, those things, you know, go a long way. So like you said, Nobi, there's, you know, several different platforms out there that I think that we are able to kind of, you know, infiltrate and expose our users to these different, you know, training platforms.
I don't know. I don't think all blue is soothing when you get the blue screen of death from Microsoft.
The notifications. You know, like, I guess that's the biggest notification. But you know, just the regular, normal functioning Windows notifications are supposed to be soothing, reinforcing. Just like,
yeah. No. Yeah. I think they just default to blue because maybe blue takes the least amount of like energy for pixels. I don't know, something like that. Going back to Windows 95 is when that first started occurring. But yeah. So you definitely want to try to take the phishing fail, if you will, as an opportunity to learn. And one of the other things that I found too, talking about psychology, is that if you can kind of help connect the dots to them. Like I have found that, and this doesn't work in all cases, but if you can, in some cases it works, if you explain the why you clicked on this, this is what it could mean for the company. And if that happens for the company, then that would mean potentially your job as well too. Not because you would get fired for doing that, but because it would just close the company or create such a cash problem that, Yeah. And so by giving them more skin in the game, so to speak, I think that understanding will float in a little bit more too. And maybe, you know, you use blue font or something like that. I don't know.
So. Yeah. So, and I also want to go back to something though, that you were talking about earlier, LeGrey, with the networking and things like that. You know, I know you have, viewers across the coast, across the world. ISSA, ISACA they are global organizations. So, you know, you don't have to just be, you know, to your local branch. If you don't, kind of mesh with that, you can go and do a virtual meeting and things like that. You know, I travel and, you know, go to different, different chapters sometimes and check those different ones out. Great to always have, you know, contacts in different states and different areas, of course, you know, in case you need to move or something happens and, you know, you may need to have a different location for a job or something like that. So I think that's great to have also in your back pocket. So just wanted to put that out there.
Absolutely. Yes. Networking is not just local. It is global. In fact, and even here on this podcast, I've spoken to people from, I believe, all continents with the exception of Antarctica. But before I retire, I got to talk to somebody down way south.
Please send me that. Please make sure I have a notification for that. I actually am interested to see what they do on a daily basis.
I don't think that they have much physical security threats down there. Not too many people like dropping USBs in snowy parking lots or anything like that. So
I don't think so. Maybe the penguins.
Well, regardless of how you look at it, there's always going to be threats, and it can be stressful to folks like you and I that spend a lot of time and passion trying to defend folks from bad things becoming a lot worse or even getting affected by bad things. And we can't take the mantle 24/7. You can't be effective in fighting the fight if you're not an effective soldier, and you got to take care of yourself. And that's why I always encourage folks to step away, take care of yourself, and find something that you can decompress. I used to say decompress is the word I would use. What's one of the things you do to step away from the stresses of cyber and even also being an entrepreneur in order to refresh, if you will?
Wow. Great. That's a great question. It's so many. But, you know, I love that you asked for that because just very recently, I just got back from a 2-week ski vacation. One of my passions that I picked up probably about 10, 11 years ago is skiing. I go about once or twice every year now. I've been doing that for about, like I said, the past 10 years. This year, I went to Big Sky, Montana. And I also went to Palisades, Tahoe, California. So those were two of the places that I wanted to scratch off my bucket list. Beautiful, gorgeous places. I highly recommend it to anyone who has been skiing or hasn't. I mean, go check it out. I actually have joined this thing called the National Brotherhood of Skiers. I'm plugging them. It's really cool. Go check it out, nbs.org. The summit happened. That's the one I went to in Big Sky, Montana. But the summit happens every year. If you're interested, look it up. Really cool. So that's one of my passions. I have all the gear. I got all my ski boots, skis. Like I'm out there, man. So that's one of my number one passions. And my other passion, of course, you know, health, man. Health is wealth. So I'm in the gym. Try to be in the gym at least 4 times a week. So you know, that's another way to try to step away from the busy world that we're in. So
I can totally relate with the gym item. I can't go a day without doing some sort of workout, and whether it be weights or cardio. I will have to say, I mean, skiing's great cardio, first of all, and it's actually great muscle coordination. It's great a lot of things. It just wasn't great for me. And I grew up.
Agree, whatever.
I mean, I grew up north, and by the time I actually started to try to ski, I realized that I'm not really meant for this. I never had any sort of accident or anything, but on ski trips, I was more concerned about getting into the lodge near the fire and having a few beers. That was my main thing. So,
Yeah, I mean that's always the after ski is always the party. So, but the
yeah,
funny thing is, this year I went. I don't know if you remember a couple of weeks back, Palisades, Tahoe, top the Lake Tahoe area. They had that big snowstorm. That's when I went. I went the week that they had that big snowstorm.
oh, awesome. So you had all that, and it was
I had
powder, I
all
hope.
that fresh powder, man.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, maybe one of these years I'll give it a try again. I'm
Hey
kind of
man, come
getting
on with me.
almost, well, I'm almost getting to the point of being too old for that, but we'll see. So,
There's a guy that there's actually a guy out there. I think he's 74. He's been skiing every he's went every day this year at Palisades. I think 125 days now, or something like that.
ain't making me look bad.
I'm just playing.
So what kind of future plans you got outside of like continuing to ski and
I want to continue to grow in this industry. Be a someone in the community that people can go to, like I said, for jobs, for advice, for knowing and maybe understanding a little bit different paths to go through down this cybersecurity journey. I also want to get back into podcasts, and I have my own podcast as well. I'm not going to plug it on here though, because
Go
it.
ahead, go ahead. No, I plug your podcast.
So I started one last year. It's called the Cyber Ninja Podcast. I only published one, but I've actually shot like four. So I didn't get back consistent with it, but that's one thing that's a future plan. So Cyber
And
Ninja.
I totally forgot about that because we talked about that
We
too,
did,
and
yeah.
we get at about the podcast, and I was going to plug it some more, and that's why getting you on, and I probably had it in my show notes. Yes, I think you should continue to do the Cyber Ninja podcast, and I think that you should have me on as guest.
Absolutely. We're gonna talk about that for sure. We'll make that happen, Greg, for
I'm
sure.
just plugging myself. I can't talk skiing though. I'm just going to say right now,
We got other stuff.
I can't
We
even
got
talk water skiing. This is like I tried water skiing when I moved down to Tennessee in '95, and it was like, no, this isn't for me either. So I think I better pass on that. So,
other stuff. All right.
well, Darius, it's been absolutely wonderful. I appreciate you taking a few moments out to chat with us this morning.
Absolutely.
I learned a lot. I think you got some great advice for some of the folks out there coming up in their cyber career, and also for those of us who are, with me, I'm always at a place that I need to learn. So I appreciate your information and your input. Excuse me.
One last thing. If you want to get in contact with me, I'm on LinkedIn, Darius Davis. I'm on Twitter, Real D Money 86. We talk about cyber a little bit, but not. We talk about more about sports and other things about life on the Twitter. So,
Okay. Well, if you get me that information, I'll put it in the show notes and then people will have a way to get a hold of you. So
right on.
thank you so much for joining us today, Darius.
Thank you so much, Greg, for having me.
And
Bye-bye.
everybody, stay secure.